Thank you for joining us on Radio Abeokuta today. Today we have a very interesting story that I would like to share with you, and we're honored and privileged to have a documentary filmmaker with us who has a very interesting story that she's sharing with the world, Madam Morenike Olabumi. Welcome to Radio Abeokuta, Madam.
Thank you very much for having me on the radio station.
It's an honor to have you here, and I'm grateful that you were able to make it in spite of your very, very heavy schedule.
I'm happy to be here.
So, without much ado, we'll dive straight into the story. You have produced a documentary film about Abeokuta, which is Abeokuta Village in Jamaica. And really, most of us are really ignorant about that story, and I would be happy if you can just give us a very brief overview of how that village came about and who the inhabitants are and so on.
Well, Abeokuta in Westmoreland, in the parish of Westmoreland in Jamaica, most of this village was created by descendants of Yoruba people from Abeokuta, Nigeria. As history goes, in the 1840s, there was no one to work the sugar plantations in Jamaica because Jamaica in the West Indies got full emancipation in 1838. So in the 1840s, enslavement of Africans was still going on in Cuba and Brazil. So when the ships were coming over from West Africa, they were waylaid at sea by the British, and they took the people back to Sierra Leone. So as the story goes, when Jamaican planters had no one to work, they asked the people to come over. It was a long process of really getting them over to the Caribbean islands, and Jamaica was one, to work these plantations. So when the people came over, there were a lot came over as Yorubas, and they settled in Westmoreland around the sugar area, the Frome Sugar Company. And I imagine they met some other people who were also from their area, and they organized themselves, and they got land because they were indentured servants, those who came over in the 1840s.
So they were not sent over as slaves?
No, they were not sent over as slaves. Slavery was finished in the Caribbean, the British islands.
Okay.
Not in the Spanish island like Cuba or Portuguese like Brazil. So these who came over in the 1840s came over as indentured servants. And they got land, and they created a place. They named it Abeokuta after their hometown.
What year was this?
Pardon me?
What year was Abeokuta in Jamaica established?
It was established, according to my record, sometime after 1841.
Right.
And it is very much like the area, rocky area in Nigeria.
Right.
So it reminded them of home, and they bought land, and they named it Abeokuta.
So basically, Abeokuta in Nigeria itself was established 1830. So Abeokuta in Jamaica was established 11 years after Abeokuta in Nigeria was established.
Approximately about that time.
Right. I know you told me an interesting story of the playwright Wole Soyinka visiting Abeokuta in Jamaica. Can you share that story with the audience, please?
Yes. There is a videotape that's done in Jamaica, which I saw, and Wole Soyinka had visited Jamaica. And what happened was that he kept telling the people how to pronounce the word Abeokuta. I'm sure I might not be pronouncing it correctly either, because in Jamaica we tend to cut off letters, so they call the place Bekuta. But visited an elder who has now passed away, and he asked her what does Abeokuta mean? Because the old people knew the place as Abeokuta. The young people would say Bekuta. And she, at the time, she had a broken hip and she was in bed. He went to her house and visited her. And he asked her what Abeokuta meant. And she said, under the rock.
Wow.
You are so correct. And then a friend who was there told me that he went out into the woods and looked at all the herbs and the foliage in the area, and he said, I know that my people were here.
Why did he say that?
Well, my friend thinks that he recognized some Yoruba herbs.
Oh,
that was
okay.
Her feeling.
Right.
But he really felt like his people, some of these people were really his people.
So you have produced a documentary film about this story, and it's titled Etu and Nago, am I right?
Yes.
And it's been released. Where can we watch it? Is it out? Is it being screened?
It has been screened in some festivals, and it was in Cuba. In 2003, it was in Jamaica. In 2003, I've won awards.
Congratulations.
Pardon me?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
On your award.
Thank you. It was screened in New York. It's being screened, actually, in July and August in New York, and hopefully in UK in September. It will be available sometime in September for sale. And I have a website.
And actually, by the time this interview is broadcast, your website, there will be a link to your website from Radio Abeokuta's website. But if you can go ahead and give us your website's URL.
Okay, my website is oshala.com.
Oshala.com. And that's where the DVDs and the videos, VHS copies, will be available for sale in September?
Yes, there will be information in the store section of that website.
Okay.
Where people can get access to the DVDs and VHS copies.
So, right now, as I understand it, your documentary is actually a two-part series. So you've done part one. What are you doing with respect to part two?
Yes, part two is really exciting. My dream is to link up the Yorubas in Jamaica, in Hanover, in Abeokuta, in Westmoreland, to Abeokuta, Nigeria, and Ekiti. Because an elder in the film, her grandmother is from Itaji in Ekiti. So because there are two different groups of Yorubas that I've dealt with in the documentary, they live in different areas. So my next step is to go to Nigeria in July, meet with the king of Abeokuta, and make plans to take Jamaicans, descendants of Yorubas, back to Abeokuta, Nigeria, and create that link. Because I feel that it's necessary that we as Africans in the West be linked to our homeland in the East.
So have you made contact with the king of Abeokuta, the Alake of Egbaland? Have you contacted him?
Well, a letter should be delivered sometime soon asking him for an audience.
Right.
While I'm in Nigeria in July. So I have faith that he will accept... accept me.
I'm sure he would. You saw his letter on the internet, on Radio Abeokuta's website.
Yes, that was wonderful. So your website has been of great help to me because I downloaded it and shared it with a friend who is Nigerian and who took a letter over for me. So we do hope to meet with him and make this contact between Jamaica and Nigeria.
Right, and I think it would be a very, very great homecoming, and I'm hoping that you would come back and tell us all about it when that's done.
Yes, I will definitely share the story and all the video or film footage that we have, because it would be wonderful, you know, because after all these years, we still have the, you know, our DNA is still there.
Absolutely.
You know, and we can't get away from it.
Absolutely.
And who would want to get away from it?
No one, I hope.
So that is my great dream, and that's the future, the part two of this series.
So when do you think part two would be ready for production?
Well, hopefully, I hope that we'll be able to go back next year with people from Jamaica. Because when I get back from Nigeria in September, I should be doing some fundraising. I will be doing some fundraising to see, because it will be quite an expensive project. So I'll be doing fundraising, and then hopefully I can take them over next year, and then we have to do editing and all of that. So it may be ready in 2006, or with the help of everyone, it could be 2005.
All right. This one last question. I'm curious to know how Yoruba servants from Sierra Leone were given the permission, so to speak, to set up their own township and even name it an African name like Abeokuta in the 1840s, when the whole world was really very racist and very anti-black. How did that happen?
I think they were such strong people, you know, that they just knew what they wanted to do, and they had, it was organization. The fact that they were so organized and they were fresh from the continent, they remembered things and they saved their money and they were able to buy land, because that's what happened in the Caribbean. People were able to buy land, and that's what they did.
And these are black people who were able to buy land.
Yes, they were able to buy land. There is a book called Alas, Alas, Congo, The
right.
Social History of Indentured African Immigration into Jamaica, 1840 to 1865. I'm sorry, 1841 to 1865.
The reason why I'm stressing this point is because, of course, in the 1840s, a black person in the United States or a black person in Brazil could not buy land.
Yes, but in the Caribbean. You see, in Jamaica, we have a history of fighting. We have the Maroons, because in 1834, it went on the books that our ancestors were going to be free, but they freed. They should be freed, but they had to work, say, 8 years for the slave master before they would be free. So in 1834, 1836, they started burning down the slave master's houses. So they said, we've got to free these people. Because even in my film, there is an area where one slave revolt was started by a slave, enslaved African woman.
Wow.
She lit the trash house, and 50,000 enslaved Africans rose up and started burning plantation houses. So, and we have the history of the Maroons, who were already free people who lived in the hills, who fought the British, so the British had to just wave their white flag. So we had that history. Plus we had the history of Toussaint L'Ouverture from Haiti.
Right.
So we
right.
had all of that going on in the Caribbean, and newly enslaved people coming over from Africa, telling you what's going on. And so, you know, Jamaica was a hotbed. You know, ancestors didn't sit around and take anything from anyone. You know, we just said, well, no, you know, if we cannot exist here, we cannot be free, then you won't be free, then we're going to burn down the place.
So in the case of the Abeokuta people in Jamaica, they came over as indentured servants, Yoruba servants from Sierra Leone,
right.
which gave them the right, in theory, I'm told, to a return ticket to go back home. Why didn't they take that option? Did any of them exercise that right and, you know, after, I don't know, so many years of indentured servitude, say, thank you very much, I'm done, can I go back to Africa, please? Did that happen?
It was a trick. It was a trick. Some of them, as I learned, some of them fought and were able to go back.
Where did they go back to? Sierra Leone or back to Abeokuta in Nigeria?
Well, some of them, I understand, went back to Sierra Leone. Okay, I'm not quite sure where the rest went back to, but it was actually a trick to get them there. And
right.
Therefore, those who got back had to fight to get that return ticket.
So it just sounds as if the whole Abeokuta settlement in Jamaica was more of like a consolation prize. If we can't go back, then we would recreate the homeland over here. Is that correct?
Yes, and it looked a lot like their homeland. Because Abeokuta, when you look up at the top, it's a very rocky place.
Hmm.
It's very rocky, but with a lot of trees.
Hmm.
A lot of trees. So, and also, Abeokuta right now in Jamaica, I met a young woman in April called Angel, and she's actually developing the area as a heritage, health, and tourist attraction.
Right.
And what I found out is that there is an almost Olympic-sized swimming pool that was built.
Wow.
By enslaved Africans there.
Wow.
It's always fed. It's fed with mineral water, which comes out of a riverhead. So the water flows through and flows down, and actually that water is in my film. I didn't know at the time that it came, you know, I knew where it came from, but I didn't realize there was a swimming pool there. But she's now, her and her family are on that property. So she's actually developing it. She's had the Nigeria High Commissioner come out and visit, and she has put a sign up on the road that says Abeokuta. And she's really doing a lot with the area, you know, to bring it into history, Jamaican history. And she told me there's an Olomo Rock there, which I didn't know about.
Olomo Rock in Jamaica.
That's what she told me. When I met her, it was at night time, like 11 o'clock. I went up there. So I wasn't able to go and take that trip with her. I might have seen that Olomo Rock, just didn't know that it was called that when I was there.
Wow.
When I did the work there.
This is very, very interesting and highly illuminating.
Yes.
Before I let you go, I'm still wondering. I know that you have descendants of Yoruba slaves in other parts of the West Indies. So I'm thinking about like Trinidad and so on, but not so much in Jamaica, apart from the Abeokuta people. Why is that?
I really don't know. It's possible that in the other Caribbean islands, the people there really kept up the tradition. Maybe there were more Yorubas who went to Trinidad and Cuba. Because I'm not quite sure. Because in my research, it says that they also went to Barbados. But there's not a large group there. I don't even know about a group in Barbados. I haven't done any research there. But there is a large group in Trinidad.
Yes, because I've received emails from people in Trinidad who contact me because they see the word Abeokuta on the internet and the Yoruba thing, and they get all excited. But
yes.
never from Jamaica.
Right. And there is a well-known person, Trinidadian, she's a professor at UWI, University of West Indies, Maureen Warner Lewis, who does a lot of work, a lot of writings on the Yoruba tradition in Trinidad.
Hmm.
She's either from Tobago or Trinidad, but she has books out on the songs and who they sung for or sung to, the Orishas. She's, as I understand, I have not been able to reach to meet Marina's yet, because we have actually a mutual friend, but she's a fluent Yoruba speaker.
Wow.
I
would love to have her on this program.
Yes, and a friend of mine, Roland Abiodun, who is Yoruba, and teaches at Amherst College, uses her book in his class.
Wow.
And he's an art historian.
So am I correct in basically summarizing from my perspective that the main thing I'm taking away from your story here is that in this day and age, we are also happy that we have the, you know, all sorts of communication gadgets to be in touch with each other, even though we're hundreds of thousands of miles away. But it's possible to do that even without these gadgets. I think that's what this Abeokuta Jamaica story tells us.
Yes, it's really the strength of our ancestors. It really teaches us how strong we as a people are, you know, without, as you say, all these gadgets. The faith that we have in who we are is very important, because that's why all these stories have been kept through all the bondage and, you know, distance, you know, from the motherland. These stories are still here. And that's why we really have to honor our elders.
Absolutely.
Because they have definitely been strong.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much for spending some time with us, madam. I'm very grateful to you. And I know you're traveling to Nigeria very shortly. I wish you a very, very safe and fruitful journey.
Thank you very much. And it's been a pleasure. And good luck in all you do. And I'm sure your wishes will help me, will be the wind under my wings to get this project, the future project, done.
And please let us know when you're done with part two. We'd like to catch up with you again and find out how it went, and also see some footage of Jamaicans returning home.
Yes, it would be a pleasure.
Thank you very much, madam.
Thank you.